Ryan Rashog joins us. Shogger, the rumblings are the big man, Zdeno Chara, might play game five with a broken jaw. Now, broken jaw can be very different levels. Do we have any idea? Is it like a hairline fracture? Is it broken? What are you hearing in regards to the jaw of Zdeno Chara?
Yeah, not hearing anything beyond, I mean, they were really tight-lipped today. They didn't say a whole lot. Bruce Cassidy was super tight-lipped about it as well. So there really wasn't much of a sense coming out of there. Now, we kind of heard some small whispers this morning that maybe there was a chance he was going to be okay to play, but it felt really kind of, you know, not that reliable and a little dicey. So, but Joey McDonald was reporting it here recently, saying that he's hearing, or it sounds like, would be impressive. I mean, playing with any sort of broken jaw would be really impressive. So honestly, I'm not hearing anything else other than what's being reported, but it would really be something if Chara somehow found a way to be in the lineup. Man, it was brutal. And I think if it were, if it were the regular season, a guy probably wouldn't even think about it. But this is, you know, he doesn't know if he'll get another shot at this. So he's a pretty driven guy.
Yeah, I love how you phrase that, because I said that yesterday. He's getting to the age where, you know, there's not many runs at the Stanley Cup final left. And even I believe that showed the way he came back on the bench and sat with his teammates without really being able to say much or participate at all. But he just wanted to be there for them. And I think that shows that he recognizes and appreciates the moment and know how hard those moments are to come by.
Yeah, and as you get towards the end of your career, I guess you just sort of, you know, it would be natural to start to feel like this might be your last crack at it like this. And the guy's a competitor, man. He's a beast. He does all the right things. He's an incredible athlete. The way he takes care of himself, the example he sets. Like, I'm blown away. You talk to other players on this team about Zdeno Chara, and the reverence with which they speak about him is very, very noticeable. And it's you can tell the impact that he has. So, coming back and sitting on the bench when he wasn't able to talk. Bruce Cassidy said today that he didn't talk to him. He texted him. I'm sure Chara wasn't doing a ton of talking. He's just a really important player in this locker room. And even though, you know, he's not the power play guy, he still plays a lot of minutes. He still plays important minutes for them. I think he's got the fourth most average minutes per game on the entire Bruins team, you know, and he's 40. So it's impressive.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jesse Puljujärvi for Oiler fans in the news a lot, and this is not a surprise. This had came out a while ago that maybe he's thinking about a change of scenery. We had Ray Ferraro on and said, you might want to pump the brakes on that because you don't know if the next place you go is the best. What's your sense on how the Oilers view him? Because, you know, the guys who drafted him, you know, the GM, they're not here now. And we know that that can be a difference. There's maybe not as much of emotional connection to it. What do you see unfolding with Puljujärvi? And I know at the end of the season I said I wouldn't be opposed to 1 year in the Finnish Elite League. I didn't think that would be horrible for his development because you can't develop in the American League next year. Do you think there's a chance the Oilers don't trade him and he plays in a league not the NHL?
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. Negotiations would have to get right off the rails, and there would have to be, I was going to say breakdown, but I mean, you know, there's been a sort of a trade request already, and the thought process that it's time to move on, you know, through the agent and that kind of thing. We've heard that already. It's an interesting situation for Ken Holland to take over, because you make the point that, you know, it's not the same level of investment, right? He didn't go through that draft and draft Puljujärvi. You know, none of his reputation is on the line for how this player does. It's not considered a blown pick of his. But at the same time, he needs wingers. He needs wingers that can play and wingers that could potentially, you know, try and develop into top six forwards and guys who can play with skill players. And that's exactly what Puljujärvi is supposed to be. So on one hand, the agents, you know, if they make a little bit of noise and a rattle in pots and saying, I want out, you don't want that around your organization. So maybe you would try and facilitate a trade. But on the other hand, you're looking for guys that can come in and on value contracts compete for skilled spots. And at some point, Puljujärvi will probably mature and mature as a pro athlete and take a step. And I think it would almost be a shame not to give Dave Tippett an opportunity with this raw talent to see what he can do with it.
Let's just say that everything can line up and Puljujärvi could sign that deal in Finland. Do you think that'd be the worst thing for where he's at in his career right now?
Well, and the other thing too is Jokerit doesn't have his KHL rights. So
right.
It wouldn't even be in Jokerit if he were to go to the KHL.
Okay, well, let's just assume
there's another team.
Everything could fall in place. We can just wave a magic wand and he can go to Finland and play for a year.
Yeah, I'd rather play in the Finnish Elite League than KHL, but that's just me.
Well, right, and so he was going to play. He was going to play in a team in Finland in the KHL, which is, you know, would it be the worst thing in the world? No, I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world for him to go to Finland and play. But again, Struds, like so he's going to go back to Finland. If he does that, he goes there. He it's another year where he's probably not doing much to learn the language. Probably not. I mean, I think Puljujärvi's issues are with maturity and acclimation to North America and
really?
To all of the factors surrounding everything on the ice. Now, there's issues that have translated onto the ice for sure, but none of those develop and none of those problems continue. You're just kicking the can down the road, I think, a little bit. So would it do him good to play in a league where he could celebrate some goals and points? Yes. Is it going to fix a big part of the reason why he hasn't been able to break through here? I'm not sure.
So I played in Hungary and in a different place where no one spoke English. And I can tell you, I still was able to understand how to compete and win puck battles. So when I look at Puljujärvi, how big and strong he is, how often do we see him go into a corner or into a puck battle and win that puck battle? So are you telling me that's a Finnish language issue? Or is that a hockey issue? Because I don't see, once you get on the ice, I understand that maybe you don't understand what your teammates are telling you and stuff, but there are certain things that are non-related to language or anything like that, and that's my concern for a big man. How often does he win puck battles?
Right, and that's, you're focusing on the on-ice stuff, and that's very relevant, and it's very legit. What I'd say to that is, I don't know that going back to the Finnish league is going to get him where he needs to be on that front. He needs to be better in, and I don't know. I mean, you might know better about that league, but I mean, the NHL is the place you're playing against the best players in the world. I think Puljujärvi belongs in the league. It's just a matter of getting him to start working on the things he needs to work on. I mean, he's not a true pro athlete yet. You know, where does he train? Who's his training group? Who does he go and work with every single year to make sure that he's in great shape? Does he? Does he put the time in? Does he understand what it takes? Okay. He's so young, and he's still so young. I just don't think he's become a professional athlete yet. And I don't know how that happens with a person who is maybe a little bit younger to begin with. And it's not a knock on him. I mean, I've got teenagers. You know, sometimes a 15-year-old is way more mature than an 18-year-old. It's just the way it is. And so if naturally that's the way you are, how do you get over those hurdles? You know, when the raw talent and the raw skill is there. And it's been a few years now and he hasn't been able to. And so I don't know, Struds. Maybe it would be better for him. You know, maybe he will hit his peak when he's 26. You know, and it was just all too much too soon for him. But I doubt he's a member of the Oilers organization by then.
Yeah, I've always argued I didn't think we'd see the best out of Puljujärvi till he's 22, just looking at the history of the vast majority of Finns and Swedish players when it comes to the NHL. And I think that's where the Oilers have to be, I think, very cautious about. And, you know, we had Shane Doan on the show earlier. Now, the Oilers, you know, they ruined that opportunity by not playing Puljujärvi in the minors last year. But Shane Doan was a regular NHLer for 2 years, and then they realized, you know what, this isn't working the way we want. They sent him to the American League for half a season. And, you know, that made a huge difference. Now, you can't do it with Puljujärvi, and that's why I understand the NHL is the best league in the world. But you can sign Puljujärvi for a year. If he's not ready, having him, you know, forcing him third-line minutes in the NHL, I don't believe is going to build his confidence that much. And that's why I think, I know it's not the first option, but that's why I've said from the end of the year, I don't believe a 1 year in Finland at 21 years of age would be the worst thing for his long-term development. If they think there's a player there, I think that's what they have to consider. Now, if they don't think he's ever going to improve, then I suspect they trade him.
Yeah, and part of the problem is if the player wants out and the agent wants the player out, convincing them that, hey, look, there's a new coach, you know, he'll have a new system, fresh start, that might be hard. You need them on board for that process as well. But the one thing that I've learned working in Edmonton and seeing all these coaches come and go, it's understanding that different coaches can unlock different players. And that, you know, one coach will have great success with one player and the next coach will come in and nothing really will have changed about the player, but the success is just not the same. And so what if Dave Tippett does figure out a way? What if, I guess what I'm saying is it would be a shame to have a fresh set of eyes, a veteran experienced coach, come in and not give him an opportunity with the raw talent we all know Puljujärvi has to see what he can do, to see how he can affect things. He might evaluate the situation and go, this is exactly what we need, and this, and they put those things in place, you know. The other thing, too, guys, to consider about Puljujärvi is, you know, Mikko Koskinen is going to have a ton of pressure on him next season, like a ton of pressure on him. And I don't know that he needs to be in a role where he's got to be managing Puljujärvi all the time. And I think as the other Finnish player on the team, I think that's probably a pretty significant amount of responsibility and at times burden. You know, game days, he needs to be focused. And so, you know, it's another problem that comes with, you know, a guy still taking his time getting acclimated and not really, you know, and it's about cohesion with the rest of the group and kind of absorbing into that group. And the more you're willing to be a part of things, the more you can be absorbed into that group. And it just has not happened for Puljujärvi, is my understanding.
Yeah, so far it hasn't. Now I'll say this, Puljujärvi's responsible for some of it without question. You know, Strud's talked about training, all those stuff. But I think the Edmonton owners definitely have to bear a lot of the responsibility in how they completely mismanaged his development over the last 3 years. And hopefully it's something. And it is a new regime now. I would hope that that's the last time you see that. Because when you look at Anthony Mantha and all these other players, and he wasn't, but he's a first-round pick. And I really don't care about the number of where you're picked, to be honest. But you look at how they've developed players there. The Edmonton Oilers, you know, Yamamoto, I thought they screwed up for 2 years. Shouldn't have been in the NHL for 9 games last year. Was a wasted year for him. Puljujärvi, the same thing. And as they're good with Tyler Benson, who we had on the show earlier, and you know, other players, they still, even up until last year, Ryan, it was still an ongoing issue in the organization. And with Ken Holland, I'm very curious to see how much it changes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. What did they waste on Yamamoto? Like, what was the sacrifice by having him there, other than just giving him a look?
Well, you wasted time on the player who wasn't ready. You wasted time for your team, got off to a horrible start for a guy who wasn't going to be a contributor, right? And then they did the same thing last year. And then when he was struggling in the American League, he was hadn't been healthy for a long stretch. They bring him up to Edmonton when he's physically not ready, and he gets hurt again. And it's basically a waste.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I agree with you there. When they brought him back, like after Hitch took over, and all of a sudden they bring Puljujärvi back and they bring Yamamoto back. I agree. Those were both mistakes. And that, to me, that was a mistake with Yamamoto. I had no problem with the way they handled him at the start of the year, because I thought he earned those opportunities. And I think at the end of the day, it has to make sense to the player. If you earn the opportunity, you need to be given the opportunity. And then that's why the entry level system is there, so that you can stay until you're not earning it anymore. But I completely agree with you. Mid-season should not have called him up. And the rest of his year suffered for it. So we'll see how they handle him. He's an important player for them moving forward. The one thing I'll say is I don't see Ken Holland drafting another small forward. I think that they will draft, they'll probably end up drafting a forward, but I think it'll be somebody with size. I think I wouldn't expect the Oilers to be taking Caulfield if he's there.
Shauger, enjoy Boston. Game 5, yeah, a huge game for the Bruins, and we'll find out tomorrow if Chara's playing with the broken jaw, fractured jaw, whatever it is. Have yourself a good evening.
You too, guys. Take care.